Hello and welcome to Theatre Voice. My name is Diana Damian. I'm here with Rajni Shah to talk about her show Glorious as part of this year's Spill Festival. Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to ask you to first introduce Glorious and tell us a little bit about it, its history and what it is.
Glorious is a musical. It's the third part in a trilogy of pieces that we've been making. The first two were very much performance installations, and this one's much more of a theatre piece. But they're all kind of looking at the idea of our relationship with the land that we live on and how that changes. So the first piece was kind of looking at the idea of Britishness and kind of stemmed from autobiographical material. And the second piece, called Dinner with America, was looking at the word America and what that, all the different things that that means. And Glorious is, I suppose, a little bit more complex in terms of its subject matter, but it's kind of just looking at what it means to be alive right now and how we feel in this moment of in-betweenness and this, with this really heightened sense of an unknown future. So there are kind of two things that have happened with this piece. One is that it's the third in the trilogy. We decided to make it a musical and wanted to make something that was really kind of about celebrating people. But the other thing is that we've been doing a number of pieces for the past 5 years in outdoor spaces like markets or shopping centres, where we've just been meeting a lot of people who wouldn't necessarily come and see the shows that we're doing, but have kind of interacted with us when we've been doing those kind of public interventions. And we wanted to bring those two strands of work together. So as part of Glorious, we meet people in the local community wherever we're performing it. We meet a local musical group who kind of reinterprets and performs the music. And then we also meet just local residents who perform with us. And most of those people will not have performed before. So those are the kind of two really important parts of it.
You use the words haunting and unusual when you talk about Glorious. Do you want to say a little bit more about that?
I think they kind of, for me, they refer to the haunting thing is kind of thematically the way that the show is structured. Each act is kind of a reflection and a movement on from the act before. So we use the same, there are six songs and six monologues in the piece, and they kind of get restaged in each act, and so we're really exploring kind of the idea of time passing and of creating a sense of memory together with the audience, so that by the time we get to the third act and the end of the show, we're kind of looking at what has happened in that space and how we all say goodbye to that space together. So I think that's where the word haunting felt like the most appropriate word. And then unusual, I guess, just really refers to this thing about trying to really root it in each place where we perform it. Really, as much as we can with a touring production, kind of live in that place a little bit and really get to know people, but also bring their voices into the show, so they really become a part of the company for that piece. I think that's the thing that's unusual about it, as well as the kind of structure, because it does kind of sit somewhere between exploring this really conventional musical theatre structure and a kind of live art aesthetic.
And you're collaborating this time for the show at the Barbican with students from Guildhall School of Music and Drama, but also with local residents. And you also mentioned that some of the work stems from autobiographical. Can you tell us a little bit about how that process works every time, and especially what your process this time was with both the students and the local residents?
Yes. In each place where we perform Glorious, we work really closely with the presenter. So in this case, it was the Spill Festival and the Barbican. Just on kind of really having conversations, but also being in the area and kind of exploring what makes most sense in terms of that engagement with the local community. So when we spoke to the Barbican, they were really interested in us kind of forging links with Guildhall. And there's a brilliant class which is called, I'm probably going to get the exact name of it wrong, but it's about cross-arts collaboration and kind of community work and all of those kind of aspects around a kind of more traditional music education, I suppose, that are more about outreach. And we spoke to Rob Wells, who's the teacher of that class, about the project, and he was really interested in kind of using Glorious as a structure for his, for a term of his teaching. So basically this term, there's a class that have been studying the music of Glorious and making their own arrangements of it and really exploring what it means to collaborate. And then 10 of those students have gone on to volunteer to perform with us. And so that's slightly different from what we would do in other places, but I think it's going to vary a lot from place to place. So in a lot of places we'll be looking for a musical group that exists already, and for whom it would be exciting to play in the show. And this just felt really like the right opportunity for the Barbican.
And the local residents,
we, for the Barbican show, again, every time we do the show, we do something in public space as a way of meeting people. So for the Barbican show, we chose Whitecross Street as the area that we wanted to work in, which is incredibly close to the Barbican, but also I think a lot of people on Whitecross Street wouldn't necessarily go into the Barbican, so it's kind of a really interesting cross-section of people. And throughout a little bit of December and all of January, we ran a market stall 2 days a week on Whitecross Street, where we were giving out daffodils that were kind of just telling people when we were going to be there, but also inviting people to write a letter to a stranger. So we had loads of letter writing equipment, and we just kind of invited passers-by to write anything that they wanted, kind of thinking about what they might like to receive in a letter from a stranger. Put it in an envelope, seal the envelope, leave it, and then immediately take another letter that someone else had left. And so there was just this kind of exchange happening, and people got really into it. And it was, so that was kind of a project in itself, but it also enabled us to meet a lot of people and then get talking to people and tell them about the show. So then more recently, we've kind of approached all of those people again by email or phone, depending on contact details, and just said to them, look, you know, remember that show that we talked about? Are you interested in being a part of it? And I think what's really interesting, and we've only done the show once before in Nottingham as a preview, but what's really interesting to me is that we don't select the participants at all. We just kind of go with the people who are drawn to it. And it just kind of works out that we end up with 6 people so far. But it means that, yeah, and we have so far ended up with a real kind of mix of people as well. And it's just kind of interesting to me that that feels really right for the project, that it's about the people who, for whatever reason, feel compelled to the subject matter, or, you know, for some reason feel like they really want to do something creative at this moment in their life. And those are the people who will end up being on stage with us.
And how does that collaboration unfold once you're starting work on the show and you're fitting people into a more or less of a structure?
We've tried to build the show so that there's kind of, I suppose, the songs, although the music is reinterpreted by the musicians, the songs and the kind of structure of the piece exist and are actually quite fixed. So that all of that is kind of in place, and then there are these gaps in it where we slot in the monologues that the local performers do. So what that means is that we are able to really spend our time with them, kind of just workshopping around writing. A lot of the time we'll use letter writing because it's just such a nice way of kind of accessing your own voice, and getting them to generate a lot of material and then working with them on what they would like to perform in the show. And, you know, we'll kind of shape that in that we know we're looking for about a minute or two of material, and we might suggest certain things, but it will always be something that performer wants to perform. And then we just get to also spend time with them on kind of working on what it means to be on stage, and preparing them, I suppose, for what that quite strange experience of standing in front of a microphone on a stage is. But we kind of decided it felt really important to be able to have even though it's quite a short amount of time, to have quite an in-depth process with those people, rather than having a whole load of people on stage and teaching them something. It's actually about having the time to access their own voice and, yeah, see what they have to say.
And the issues that you mentioned earlier, you said that the piece relates to and fits into a very in-between time of sort of not knowing. And you mentioned border policies, and you mentioned the financial collapse, and also issues like climate change, which are quite big issues, but discussed in so many different ways. How do you feed those into the show, and how do those create a link between the audience and the performers and you as the makers as well?
Yeah, it's kind of a strange... I mean, I suppose those particular issues partly relate to where I'm coming from in making the show and where I'm really coming from in terms of having written the lyrics. Having said that, they're not specific. You know, you wouldn't go, oh, here's a song about climate change. but the lyrics are kind of exploring that space of what it means to be alive right now and kind of how it... I don't know, yeah. Kind of that space that we're in, and sometimes quite specifically, but just also opening up a space for an audience, I think, that is reflective, but not specific, but around those themes. And then in terms of the local performers, I would say that we do kind of tailor the workshops so that we're looking at things like drawing maps, and writing letters to kind of access a certain voice, but also maybe certain topics around place and what it means to be in a place. And we also talk to them a little bit about what the show is about. And usually, you know, that will be one of the reasons that they're drawn to doing the show, is that I think they do feel like they have something to say right now. So I think in terms of writing that little bit of text that you were referencing, I would say that's kind of where I'm coming from very personally in terms of the show, and it's kind of the space that we open up for an audience and for the performers. But it also varies quite a lot in terms of what those performers have to say and what they kind of feel is important or kind of intimate to them right now. Yeah, but I suppose the other part of that is that for me, the fact of just hearing people speak about maybe everyday things and really, really hearing those people is a kind of response to all of those things, because I guess I feel like the biggest problem in society is that we aren't able to listen to each other, and especially to listen to people who are very different from us. And so maybe that's where there's a kind of new space that's opened up as a response to those things rather than being about those things.
So in a way, this is more about empowering a group of people and starting a conversation than discussing these issues, would you?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, conversation is a word I use a lot in terms of my performance, and I suppose that is my ideal thing, is that for an audience it feels like the opening of a conversation rather than me trying to tell them something.
And is this part of the reason why you chose the form as well, which is a musical?
It's one of those funny things. It just felt really right. And I think we have started to use... I mean, there's a lot of singing in Dinner with America, but it's the repetition of one verse of Amazing Grace. So it's a very different kind of thing. I think there are a lot of kind of different reasons for exploring the musical, but one of them is just that place that you can go to with music that's so different from anything else, and kind of really wanting to explore that. But also, I think... I was really interested, as well as it being a musical, it being quite a conventional piece of theatre where we have curtains that open and an audience that sits in the dark. And I really just had this moment of feeling like, because I work a lot in the live arts sector, and I kind of think there's a lot of work happening that's about emotions, but... because of the way a lot of that work happens, I don't often feel like there's a space for me to just be really emotional as an audience member. And there's nothing quite like that feeling of sitting in the dark and watching a show that's just kind of washing over you in this incredible way. So I think that was something I really wanted to explore with this, was just allowing us, and by us I mean kind of all of us on stage and in the audience, this space of really... feeling something in the face of these really overwhelming times.
And how about the live art aesthetic of it? How does that translate? And what's the dialogue between that and the form of the musical?
I suppose I'm not entirely sure what a live art aesthetic is, to be honest. The live art sector is definitely where I found the most support. But I think my work has always been quite theatre-based, but a little too experimental for the theatre sector. So, but, you know, I mean...
Another in-between space.
Yes, exactly. I guess it's just this kind of play between the fact of, you know, having three acts and having an overture and, you know, and music that's very... that does really kind of reference musical theatre and has that feel, but then also playing with that idea of kind of repetition and duration. But, you know, it's not a six-hour piece. It's a kind of around 2 hours. And, yeah, so I think that's where I feel like we are kind of, on the one hand, it feels like we're playing with quite a traditional format, but we are doing something very different with that. And I suppose the place where it's most obvious is in terms of narrative. Because, you know, we've spent a good 2 years kind of developing this show, just, and that's been the biggest kind of the crux of all of our discussions, I think, is how do you make a musical that has a narrative but doesn't have fictional characters in it, and, you know, that really embraces all of those things about a musical, but without, and that is telling a story, but where that story is the journey that we go on in the theatre space with an audience. So that's really where we've tried to go. And I guess the other challenge with this piece in particular is that the thing that really pins down the narrative, in a way, are the monologues. And we never know what they're going to be in advance. So it was that challenge as well of creating this structure that could house those and where those things could, in a lot of ways, be the most important part of the show. But also where, you know, we had to build the rest of the show not knowing, and never knowing really till the week before the show, what those are going to be.
In terms of the history of the piece, you said you've only performed it once before, mm-hmm. Is that right? How do you feel the history of it becomes kind of appropriated in the next performance and the next performance, especially since space and community seem to be very important elements in it?
I guess I can partly answer that, only having done it once. I think I was talking to Susie Schropp, who's the musical director, about this the other day, and I think that sense of history, I mean, mostly for us as a company, it's really interesting because every time we perform the show, and especially the songs, you know, not only do I have all of the prior versions of the lyrics in my head, but now we have these other versions of the music as well, and then a lot of making this piece has been about letting go of how you thought things would be. And I think that's another part of it, is that there is this amazing sense of history that kind of builds, but it's also about letting go of that every time and never trying to recreate something. Always just being in a place of really listening to what those people are bringing to it and trying to be really open about how that might work.
And where do you see the kind of future of the show as well?
Well, we are... planning to perform it 10 times in total, and in London we'll be doing it 3 times, but in most places we'll just perform it once, and it's really, I suppose, again, it comes back to this idea of relationships for me, in that one of the really important things about doing the piece is building up a very different relationship with presenters, because actually they have to be really, whoever books the show in that place isn't just booking a show, you know, they're saying, I'm actually genuinely interested in engaging with the local community here, and in a way that's much bigger than the show itself, because actually you form relationships with those people that might be ongoing, which is really, I think, is really exciting, but, you know, it has to be the right person for that to work. So I guess in terms of beyond this show, I think that's the thing that we're taking forward, are all of these relationships, and we have a lot of things that we're doing around the show as well. So we're working with a writer called Mary Patterson, who's been working since the very beginning of the kind of concept of Glorious. She's been working with us, but she's also working quite closely with the musicians and the performers in each place, getting to know them and kind of asking them to give her little bits of memories and anecdotes and pictures. And so we'll end up with a kind of scrapbook, which is called The Glorious Storybook, which at the end of the 10 shows will be published as a kind of archive of the whole thing. And then also I'm working with Becky Edmonds, who's a filmmaker, to kind of document them all and find a way of documenting this strange, evolving show.
So these two are two continuous elements to carry the show,
yeah.
As opposed to the different nuances of the show in every place.
Yeah, and we also have an online space for everybody who's involved in the show, so everybody who gets involved in it gets to join that space and kind of see how it evolves, but also continue those relationships with us. So,
thank you very much, Rajni. Glorious is on during Spill Festival at the Barbican from the 19th to the 21st of April. Thank you.